Reading from John chapter 15, we begin in the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now we looked this morning at verse 4 of this most famous passage of scripture, one of the great I am statements. But as we have been steadily going through this first half of chapter 15, we see there is much to see. And as we saw this morning, from the words in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We saw this morning, indeed, that the people of God are in Christ and he in them. The two are inseparable. And indeed, because you abide in Christ, because you are in Christ, because you sprung forth from Christ by his grace, because he is the one who gave you faith to believe, you will bear fruit. Because it's the fruit that comes from the work of God himself. This spiritual fruit, this evidence of life, which leads us perfectly on to verse 5 this evening. We could quite easily have looked at John 15 verses 4 and 5 together, but time wouldn't have allowed to have looked at it as one thing. This is why I thought it was right to go straight into verse 5 again this evening, whilst fresh in the mind from this morning. And here in verse 5 we have the repeating of the statement. I am the vine. I am the vine. And the statement as to who we are if we are in Christ. I'm the important one. I am the giver of all life, as we saw this morning. I'm the sustainer of all things, as we also saw this morning. I'm the source of it all. I'm the vine. You are the branches. You came forth from me. And everything that you are comes forth from me. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, reminding us who we are, who we are dependent upon. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Notice verse 4. Notice verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. See verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Now see verse 5 this evening. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, not must, not should, though these are involved, not can. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The title of the message this evening is this. In this short message this evening. Ongoing growth. Ongoing growth. The sign of life. We touched on this to a degree this morning. Which is no problem, because you see of the very fact that the walk of faith is an ongoing thing. It's not a standing still. And until we reach the destination, heaven itself, the journey continues on. Ongoing growth, the sign of life. It's the sign of life in all aspects of the fleshly world, isn't it? Growth. And if it's not, if there is no growth in a particular sphere, whether it be human life or plant life, animal life, if it doesn't mean that there is no life, it certainly means that there is a problem. That there is a problem. It means that individual, that animal, that plant, whatever it is not healthy. Is not healthy. But soon enough, if the health of anything deteriorates that badly, we know what its end is, don't we? The ongoing growth in the believer is the sign of life. It's the sign of who they are. I'm not talking about a certain perfection here on earth. I'm talking about an ongoing work. We're a work in progress. We're a work in progress. Our salvation, our acceptance, our justification, and our sanctification in that sense, to be holy before God and acceptable, to be accepted in the Beloved, is a perfected work at the cross. But until we reach the glory, we do remain that work in progress, in the sense of we don't love God as we ought. We are still having to be weaned away from the things of the flesh. We are still having to be changed in that sense. We're told that the Lord Jesus loved his church that he might indeed perfect his church. That it might be a bride. That it would be a holy thing. You see, he's going to make his people holy completely one day. No tainting of sin. No sin that easily ensnares. No polluting of sin. There will be nothing. We shall be a perfect bride one day. We are growing in grace. The scriptures say, growing in grace and in the knowledge of God's Son. Salvation is of the Lord. All that you have and are, if you be in this state of grace, is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast, we're told. And as we saw last time, every true believer, trusting and believing the truth of his word, of God's word, are described as a sheep knowing the voice of their shepherd. As the Lord says in John 10, not following the voice of strangers. All those who really belong to Christ and are joined to him, the vine, through sovereign grace, made alive by the Spirit of the Almighty, all such demonstrate evidence of God's working in them. The evidence that God has worked in them. What does Hebrews 11 tell us? Faith is the substance. It's the substance. It's the evidence. It's the substance of those things hoped for. It's the evidence of the things not seen. What is that thing not seen that faith is the evidence of? Faith is the evidence of new birth. Faith is the evidence that that one who believes on Christ, that fruit of life, to believe, to walk by faith, to continue to walk by faith, clinging to the vine, is the evidence of the things not seen. It's the evidence that such a one has been, though they were once dead in trespasses and sins, have been made alive, quickened by the Spirit of the living God. And so, we are right to expect that there should be an evidence that someone is alive in Christ. And so continued faith is that, just that. It's the evidence. It's not just about people seeking to change their life. It's however good that may well be. But those who are in Christ, they keep going to the end, believing on Christ, trusting him. Trusting him alone for all righteousness, knowing we have none of our own. Trusting him for righteousness with God. In each and every one there is seen fruit, nonetheless, spiritual fruit. But once again, this is not your work. Once again, this is not something stirred up by you. He stirs us up unto it, but he is the one who performs it in us. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We quote again from Ephesians 2. Those works that God afore prepared that we should walk in them. He prepared them. And he is the one who works in us to perform them. This is the new nature, you see. This is the new nature. The working in, within the child of God. By God the Holy Spirit. In you who believe. 2 Corinthians 5 says it indeed. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. Do you remember we read in Genesis 1, when God had finished all his work that he had worked, all that he had done, all that he had made? God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one true God said, "Very good. Oh, it's very good." We read in the book of Revelation about creation in general itself. For his pleasure, for thy pleasure, they were created. Worthy art thou. And so when God creates, makes a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again of his Spirit, created holy now. That which is born of God does not sin. The Apostle John quite rightly writes. That new creation produces fruit, not the old man of sin. That produces nothing but sin. "For in my flesh dwells no good thing," says the Apostle. Oh, but there's a new nature now. And this is we said this again this morning. This is what grieves us so much, isn't it? To will to do is with me, but I find another work at work in my members. That's the sin in my fleshly self. But in that which is born of God, there's fruit. There's good fruit. Nothing but good fruit. And God looks upon that which he has made, the new creation created in Christ Jesus. And he said, "Very good. Very acceptable." That's what's accepted in Christ Jesus. And so we see, there is a similar analogy from what the Lord Jesus says here when he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." A similar analogy is given by the Lord Jesus in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Turn with me to Matthew 13. So many people misread the parables altogether. Most people have not got a clue why the parables were given, even though the Lord Jesus gives a plain statement that indeed those who are reprobate, those who the things of the kingdom are hidden from, may see and not perceive. Because it's not given unto them to understand the things of the kingdom. But here we see in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus speaks of a sower going out to sow. And how many people misinterpret what this stands for? What this actually means? How many times have you heard people trying to apply the different types of soil to different types of believers? You know, in the parable of the sower, there is only one which has eternal life. Only one. Only one referred to has eternal life here. Though it would seem for a season, at least two others may well do also. But of course they did not. And he says indeed, verse 3, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then the Lord Jesus has says in reply to his disciples as they asked him to explain the meaning of the parable. He says, "Hear the parable of the sower," verse 18. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it," it's not brought to them. It's not brought to their understanding by God. "Does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside." Do you know, this week, by a renowned reformed pastor, I heard horrendous words. He was addressing the congregation, telling the people that they need to be saved. And there have been times when the gospel has come by the power of God to them in the past, and they've not been saved. That's a blasphemy. The word didn't come by the power of God to those here who the birds came and snatched away the seed from. God never spoke to them. "But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while." It never struck me before. The Lord says here, "Yet he has no root in himself." In himself. It's a fleshly faith. It's not a faith given by God. He's a believer at best. "For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." There are many Demases in this world. They claim to be believers, but they love this present world. But the gospel always gets through to God's elect. "He who received seed on the good ground," it was prepared ground, you see. "He who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The Lord Jesus, here in John 15, is assuring us that every one of his people dwelling in him, abiding in him, they will produce fruit because it is him working in us. Because it's him who's prepared the ground. The gospel coming to those who have been born again of the working of God within, therefore bring forth those fruits, those evidences of new life. And God continues to work in us. Those who are joined to Christ through grace, him dwelling within them, continue to grow as a branch would. We spoke of our strawberries this morning, and We hardly had that many strawberries last year. The same strawberry plant, but as you know, you see a lot of these plants, they continue to grow more. With those little fruit bushes, they tend to sprout off little runners as well. But then if they take root, they produce more fruit. But they're still joined to the same plant. And there are times, as we've seen early on in this chapter 15 of John's Gospel, that indeed those who produce fruit must be pruned back at times. Those things that are unhelpful, that are unhealthy to the plant, they will be taken away so that more fruit is produced. A branch grows. The branches of a vine do not stay the same size. Neither does a healthy branch just bring a little amount of fruit once only. Once only. What good is that? What good is that? You remember the Lord Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem, he saw a fig tree. Withered. And he said about that fig tree, I believe it's something like that, cursed was that fig tree because it produced no figs. It produced no figs. And when a withered up tree, a withered up bush is in such a state, it's never going to produce again. It's never going to produce again. But that's not the case with a healthy tree, with a healthy bush, with that which has life. It continues. It continues. A few years ago in my dad's back garden, he had an abundance of plums all of a sudden. I don't know when he planted this plum tree, a plum bush or whatever you call it, but they were just, it was like a greengrocer's. He had just, we were just taking boxes of plums home every time. I mean, he's still the same now, but he gets fruit from the supermarket and we're loaded down with fruit. But it was really, really fruitful. And then the next year, it died. We didn't know what was the cause of it, but something had attacked it and it died. No more fruit from that plum tree. Not so with God's people. We don't just produce once and once only. The Lord speaks here of much fruit, an abundance of fruit. For God abundantly works in his people. It's the word here, much, is plenteous. Plenteous. A believer truly looking to Christ is growing in grace. This is the purpose why the Saviour chose and called his elect unto salvation. You see, we got all back to front. The way the gospel, so-called with some people, has been proclaimed over the years, it's been proclaimed from our perspective all the time. That it's all for us. Well, we have a benefit in it. God's elect have the benefits of it. But it's not to the end, to our praise, that men may look to us and pat us on the back and say, well done to us. All that God does, everything that God does, is all to his glory alone. And see, this is the purpose why he saved his people. That there be a spiritual growing. We look a little further down in this passage in John 15. In verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And what does the Lord say? What does the Lord say when he says indeed, by this, my Father is glorified. Verse 8. That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Everything that God's people do, everything that God's people do by the power of God in this world, nothing of it is wasted. Nothing's wasted. It remains. It remains. The works of men in this world, the works of men in this world, those who trust in their own works, those who trust in their own achievements in this world, they're forgotten. They could have the most elaborate of gravestones. But as soon as they are buried, everything that they stood for, everything that they achieved, so-called, is gone. It's gone. Remember what the Lord Jesus said about that man who said he would build the bigger barns? There's no remembrance of the one whose soul is required of them, and they have no saviour. What will they do with their riches? What will they do with their achievements? It's remembered no more. But the fruit that God produces in his people, however insignificant you think it is, God says in his word in 1 Corinthians 15, nothing done in the Lord is wasted. Nothing. Nothing you said. Nothing you said by the power of God working in you to witness unto his gospel. No working that he has done in you, showing a witness to what God has done in your life, is not wasted in any way. There will be many surprises in glory. People will be surprised in many ways. They will not realize what a witness they even had in this world, seeing that there will be some found in the glory who saw Christ in them, who saw the work of God working in them, and they were led by that witness to bow the knee to the Saviour. The practical outworking of the gospel. Do not limit anything that God may do in your life. And the Lord says here, for without me you can do nothing. A total dependence. The ongoing growth is the sign of life. The life is all dependent on Christ, and the growth is all dependent on Christ. It's all of him, as we said at the outset. Salvation is of the Lord. And the keeping in the state of that grace is of the Lord. It's all of the Lord. We don't say that as a cop-out to say, well, we are not to be obedient. But we can only indeed follow Christ, looking unto him, seeking his strength, seeking his guidance. As the Lord says here, for without me you can do absolutely nothing. Nothing. I believe the Lord says to us, for without me you can do nothing. All those things which give witness to a changed life, new life in Christ, outward signs of a great inward working within each one he saves, are all to give glory and praise to him, God Almighty. That is the sole purpose of salvation. Yes, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given us all things in Christ. But the sole purpose, the sole purpose of the saving of all God's elect, of all them that are grafted into the vine, the branches, is to this end, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That is the purpose why God in his infinite wisdom from eternity past, because we do not understand eternity, we say eternity past. There isn't such a time as eternity past in that sense. But God is and ever has been. But from eternity, God purposed that, yes, in the fall of man, in Adam, that sin should come into the world, that he indeed permitted this fall, that through this fall there would be greater glory unto his name. For how much glory there is unto God in the saving of a sinner. There's rejoicing amongst the angels of God over one sinner that repents. In fact, they cannot comprehend the things that took place on the cross. They desire to look into it. They desire to see just what is this that they behold, that the Son of God is crucified, bearing the sins of his people. That which was typified in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, commanded to Moses to be built, that place where the high priest was to enter only once a year in the Day of Atonement. And there was indeed the Ark of the Covenant overlaid with gold. The mercy seat, the lid, covering the broken law. And there was overshadowing that Ark, the cherubim. And they both looked not upon the mercy seat. They dare not look upon such things. They desire to look into such things, but such things are too great. Sorry, correction, they did look. They looked down upon the mercy seat. But in wonder it points to how the angels of God, how the heavenly hosts, just what are all these heavenly hosts? We do not know for sure. But the heavenly hosts, they desire to comprehend such things. They are lost in wonder, love and praise, as we will be when we enter the glory. They forever cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come." We shall cry out that, but with those words, "Thou art worthy, Lamb of God, for thou hast redeemed us with thy blood." The Apostle Peter speaks of this great salvation when God draws by irresistible grace and mercy to trust his Son as the branch clinging to the vine, the only Saviour, that it is as to display outwardly to others something glorious, something marvelous, something wonderful. See 1 Peter 2:9-10, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness. This is the fruit that endures. That you should show forth the praises of him that have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but now sorry, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We shall, God willing, in the next few weeks, see another one professing faith on Christ before others. Professed faith on Christ already. Trusting Christ already, but professing it to others. Especially those who know not Christ. And what is this? This is that outward demonstration. Behold what God has done. He's called me out of darkness into his light. And this is obedience unto God. But see also, the child of God can only live a life well-pleasing to God the Father, as we saw this morning, the same way, the only way you can come unto God, believing, to have life eternal. You came believing Christ. In fact, the Lord Jesus says of the one believing him, they have already passed from death to life. This shows that they are one of the branches. For without me you can do nothing. To be a child of God, to be a branch of the vine, is to continually call upon God. Is to continually look to God. Is to continually to believe God. To trust the Saviour. We have nothing else. We have none else. For without him we can do nothing. But with him, and in him, and through him, we can do all things. Being in Christ and trusting him, it is a life, a walk, a journey of faith alone. The scriptures say it is from faith to faith, from faith to faith. You who know the Saviour, it is only through faith that you came to him. And so it is only through faith that you will experience and continue to experience his working in you, both to will and to do all his good purpose, to indeed produce the fruit in you that endures. And remember those words again. All those works that God enables you to do, trusting him, not one of them is wasted, because it's the fruit that endures.